I trip on the words. A K-pop Demon Hunters podfic, written by Second to Last Row, and read to you by Fens and Marshes. Rumi is a liar. Rumi has always been a liar. Most of her lies were by omission, of course. Humanity is a default, a box she has to uncheck. Rumi lies like this. I can't, I'm sorry, I can't, not yet. Rumi lies like this. Please, not tonight. Rumi lies like this. Just not that. She lies like this, half awake in the dim, early morning sunlight, with a roiling sickness already starting somewhere deep inside her, already choking at her, darkening her patterns into shame's deep purple. I'm disgusting.
I'm disgusting.
I'm disgusting. I'm disgusting. I'm disgusting. The idea of Mira and Zoe looking at her, seeing her, touching her bare skin is more than she can bear, and she knows today is going to be a bad day. She knows what she should do, that she should ground herself in the present moment, that she should wake one of them up and let them soothe her, that if it's too much like burdening them, then she can at least not move, just wait for one of them to wake up. Rumi slips out of Mira's bed and quietly navigates the minefield of the floor. Don't wake up, she begs. Don't wake up, don't wake up. She slides the door carefully shut behind her and races for the safety of her room. Pulling on a hoodie makes her feel like she can breathe, just for a moment. She locks her door and tries not to think. It's hard to stop. She's on her knees, her blade is in her hands, she's cradled between the two loves of her life like she's something sacred. How could we be together when we can't tell your lies from your truths, Rumi? The doorknob rattles. Someone knocks. Mira. Rumi, you want to unlock this? No, she croaks back. That's true. Ugly, but true. Her spine aches with the movement. She can't tell how long she's been curled up on the floor. The wood creaks quietly, and she knows Mira is leaning against the door. Do you have water in there? Rumi doesn't answer. She doesn't want to move to find out, doesn't want to lie, doesn't want to tell the truth. I'm bringing you some, Mira says, when the silence stretches on too long. Always taking care of her, having to go out of her way for her, having to accommodate. I'll leave it outside if you want. Rumi doesn't answer, again. Anything she could say lies trapped in her throat. I asked her to kill me. Sometimes I think you would have been better off if she'd done it. She knows, now, that Celine never could have, that it would have shattered her even if Rumi were irrevocably, soul-eatingly demonic. What a selfish creature she is, begging for her mother to do it just so she wouldn't have to worry about her own cowardice saving her. Just so she wouldn't have to be alone in the end. Nothing but the truth now. What a stupid fantasy. She forces herself out of her room around lunch. She knows they're worried, but I'm okay is a lie, even as I'm not okay will only make it worse. She wants to unexist in these moments. That's the feeling, really, an extended variation of wanting to sink into the floor. It's not being suicidal. It isn't. Hey, there you are, Zoe says, warm as the sun, stinging Rumi's skin. Feeling better? Yeah, she says, and she hates herself when Zoe smiles because her back hurts and her head aches, and she's still clinging to the hoodie like a second skin. Why do they want her? Variations on I'm fine are probably the lie she's told Zoe and Mira the most. She always was in the end, no matter how hard the process of hiding her injuries was. I knew it was too good to be true. There's bokkimbap on the stove, and Mira dishes it out to her without either of them saying a word. Rumi picks mechanically at the rice, managing to eat some of the vegetables, some of the egg. I'm sorry, she manages. Mira takes the plate away. Being upset fucks with anyone's appetite. You don't need to be sorry. Not, she chokes on the correction. Zoe slides up against her side, squeezes her tightly in a one-armed hug. You don't need to be sorry for that, either. I do, she thinks desperately, wildly. Don't forgive me when you don't know what you're saying. It's faltering, uneven, like cobblestones with a tree growing under them. The words should fit together, but they don't. There's no answer, an unsteady beat as Rumi drags her eyes up from the counter and finds Zoe caught off guard, Mira narrow-eyed with wariness by the sink. Sorry, Zoe says, patching herself back together with a shrug. You don't get to pick. You need higher standards, Rumi tells her. It's not quite mean, but it's not as joking as it could be. That's Zoe's business, Mira says. Now come help me get this into a container. She wants to tell them. She wants them to never find out. She gets up from the counter and walks around to do as Mira asked. She pins herself between them to watch a movie. She doesn't know how to ask them not to let her run away, to make her good enough for them, but she can do this. Is this okay? Zoe asks, gently, as she curls herself around Rumi's shoulder. Yeah, Rumi lies, skin crawling, choking on the warmth. They believe her, the way they always do. Time passes in an uncomfortable haze, too slow except for how the movie is definitely halfway over and she hasn't absorbed any of it. This is where she likes work. She misses work. Work fills up her time and keeps her from being this dazed and disoriented thing, directionless and barely deceiving everyone around her. At some point, she feels Mira's fingers start spider-walking their way up her arm, slow and playful. She considers turning, meeting Mira's gaze, but she knows somehow that that's not the game. Zoe's fingers, curling in the baby hairs at the back of her neck, start to twitch, slip sliding down into the hood of her sweatshirt. Rumi, politely, keeps her eyes on the screen in front of her. Someone presses a kiss to her cheek, her temple, her ear. Rumi laughs at the sensation, her ears always ticklish. Guess that means I win, Zoe crows, except for the part where that's not Zoe. Maybe, Mira hums, her voice just as low and demonic, and the twitching pressure where her fingers have been is pinpricks now, claws working their way across Rumi's shoulder. But maybe we should see if that was really her reaction. What? Rumi doesn't even get the whole word out. Zoe's claws circle around, meeting Mira's in the center of her chest.
Maybe we should. It's Rumi, after all.
No, she gasps, finally moving, finally wrenching herself up, grabbing one set of claws in each of her own. But they only laugh and pin her down again, distorted features twisted with crooked grins.
We need to see your heart,
Zoe says, earnest.
That shouldn't hurt, right?
And if it does, Mira finishes.
Well, you always wanted us here, didn't you?
Rumi chokes, screams as their claws dig into her chest and slams her face into the coffee table. Rumi! Shit, are you bleeding? She flails as hands grab her, scrabbling away, vaulting herself over the table and landing awkwardly on her back, pushing across the floor mindlessly until she hits the wall. The hard stop of it brings her back, and she takes in the room, panting desperately. Mira and Zoe stare back at her from the couch, matching faces of horrified concern. What? She wants to snarl. Her hands automatically check the center of her chest, finding the hoodie intact. No claws, nothing dragging. Oh, just a nightmare. She feels out her forehead. It's not bleeding, but a lump is already starting to form. Ow, she says, blandly. Yeah, ow, Mira says, taking that as permission, coming a little closer. That looked like it hurt. What happened? Zoe asks, looping around the other side of the coffee table, pincer movement, closing her in. Rumi shrugs. The usual, really. Zoe reaches out and... Don't, she says, twitching the hand away. Zoe recoils like she's been burned, and because everything about Rumi is really about Zoe being good enough, and that's why she can't be not okay even when she isn't, it aches somewhere deep in Rumi's chest. She knows it's mean and irrational and not true, just bad day thoughts, but fuck, she also knows saying it could get her some space. "I'll get you some water," Mira says, uncertainly. "Solution for everything," Rumi mutters, and drops her head between her knees. She knows it's mean. They're exchanging a look over her head. "Fragile Rumi, how do we handle her?" "You know that we aren't going anywhere, right?" Zoe says gently from right next to her. "You can stop trying to get rid of us." "Maybe you should," Rumi tells the floor, vicious. The ache comes back, worse this time, and she squeezes her eyes tightly shut. "Sorry, I'm sorry, I shouldn't, I didn't mean..." "I know," Zoe says. "But you don't," she points out. "That's the problem, I just keep lying and I don't know how to tell the truth anymore, and I'm not sure I ever did. I'm not right." There's a long beat, and then Zoe says, "I'm not going to touch you." It's her warning before there's the sound of cloth sliding on the floor, and her sweatpants become visible through the gap between Rumi's calves, settling herself cross-legged right in front of her. "Okay?" she asks. "Okay," she agrees. "It is, this time." "You don't have to tell us everything, and you don't have to do it right now, but you can tell me what you were lying about, if you want." It ends in a rush, last three words tacked on. "I need you to be all right." Her stomach spins with guilt. "I didn't. Sometimes I'm not. When I say it's fine, it isn't." Mira's soft footsteps filter into the edge of her hearing. Zoe takes a breath. Her voice comes out tight, trying not to cry. "You get that it hurts, right? More that we'd hurt you than that you need help. Or whatever." Rumi nods. They've had this conversation before. She's working on it. Mira passes Zoe the water. Zoe puts it in the space between them, backs up a little so Mira can sit, the three of them forming a little triangle around the glass. Rumi doesn't touch it, not yet. She doesn't deserve. "At least you said something," Mira says. "At some point, that's progress." "I asked Celine to kill me," she blurts. She makes herself look up. Mira and Zoe stare back. Rumi knows there's only one chance for this, so she makes herself say it. After the Idol Awards, I found her and I asked, because I was a demon and there was no hiding it anymore, and that's what happens to demons. I don't want to die, I just couldn't live as half of a person anymore, and I gave her my sword. She said no, but..." The words give out. Zoe is crying. Silently, hands white-knuckled on her knees with the effort it's taking not to reach out right now. "Rumi, Mira laughs, a sharp, hysterical burst of a thing. "Thank God you asked your fucking mom first." It's not funny, but they all laugh, ragged and half-mad together, until they're all crying to some degree or another. As they falter, fade into silence, the weight returns, but not the tension. Carefully, Rumi sniffs and maneuvers herself to be sitting cross-legged, just like Zoe and Mira, all of them knee to knee. It's good. Grounding, but not too much. "Do you ever still feel..." Mira starts. Rumi wants to say no. She settles for a shrug, unable to meet their eyes, to know for certain who makes that quiet, choked sound. "Okay," Mira says. "Okay." She doesn't sound okay. "That's..." Zoe stops, swallows, swipes at her tears. "We knew there was..." "Saying you weren't ready to tell us wasn't lying, Rumi. You're allowed to not say things." Mira nods, and Rumi feels her shoulders relax, a burden she'd almost forgotten about fading away. "This is tell someone territory, though," she adds, Zoe now nodding along almost frantically. Like your therapist? She suggests. Rumi shakes her head, almost embarrassed. Their two meetings so far have featured her being humid as she tries to avoid talking about any of what causes her panic attacks and focus on addressing them. She knows better, and she knows Dr. Choi's patience will probably run out soon, but decades of repression are a hard habit to break. They share a glance. This was expected, she can see. I still have some numbers saved, Mira says, which isn't something they've ever talked about, but it is something they've known about back when they first met. I'm not, that was the only time I've ever tried. The attempt to keep them calm feels too meaningless to finish. We're putting them in your phone, Mira says firmly. She nods. It doesn't matter if you never need to call or if you call every 5 minutes, Zoe adds. We love you, yeah? Yeah, Rumi says. She stops, looks at them, makes herself believe it in the tear tracks on Zoe's cheeks and the sharpness in Mira's eyes. Yes, I love you too. Keep talking or will that make it worse? Zoe asks. Rumi hesitates, because she knows they have questions, because she knows they want to make sure, because she knows... Can we just go back to the couch for a while? Absolutely, Mira says, like she means it. Zoe leans over, just a little, and says, Communication is sexy, in her most ridiculous voice. And Rumi thinks, maybe, as she giggles, snotty and gross, and Mira goes to get her a weighted blanket to be a hug without touching, that she might be okay. The end. Thank you for listening. This was I Trip on the Words by Second to Last Row.